T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi guys, it's me, Elisa Starr, and I am in the bathtub again, and it's time for another one of my updates. It is March 4th. April 4th. Oh my god, time is meaningless. It's so crazy because I was so proud of the calendar I made for this year, the Snarky Cards 2020 calendar, and time doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's like, it's so funny because time has always been elusive to me, and it's never really, it's funny because my shrink was like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm great. She's like, you missed 2 appointments. You're not great. You've never done that before. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I super vampired out for the first couple weeks of the pandemic. I just, you know, I went to bed at 8 in the morning every morning, and then I woke up at 8 at night every night, and I was up for 12 hours, and I just, like, was on high alert, and I listened to all the news, and you know, and I just kind of wandered around my house dazed. I didn't even touch my desk. I didn't do much of anything. But I did totally vampire out. And the thing is like, time doesn't mean anything to me, but usually time means something to other people. And she was the only person I really had an appointment with. And I missed it completely because all of a sudden, you know, I'm not going to the weed shop anymore, and time is meaningless to other people too, and I just don't feel shame anymore about it, and there's something really normalizing about that, about everybody kind of just being on my, like, bewildered, like, wait, what day is it? Like, did I make enough art in the last 24 hours? Is the only question I really ask myself, kind of a schedule. That's nice. It's nice to have everybody be on the same page as me, but it's weird. And, it took me a couple of weeks to just, like, kind of get back into a regular rhythm and be able to sort of, like, be present with the outside world. But now that I crawled back out of my vampire shell, I'm ready to rock and roll, and I'm like super comfy, you know, like the world is on my schedule, and also like I've gamed out this, like, for the last 10 years all of the television has been about surviving in the wilderness, surviving in the apocalypse. But even before that, when I was a little girl, part of the reason why I was always more of a Ben Affleck girl than a Matt Damon girl is not just because Matt Damon looks exactly like my brother. That didn't happen until they were both in their mid-20s, so, like, there was no way to know when they were teens, like, that they looked exactly alike, so Ben Affleck, but, like, his very first role was in Voyage of the Mimi, which I was obsessed with, and I can still remember, like, every episode, even though I saw it, like, once or twice when I was 8. And, you know, like, I found a couple of episodes on YouTube. They're really grainy. And it is a show about some whale watcher scientists who end up getting stranded. And I was always afraid that I would get stranded on an island like Oliver Queen. And because I didn't pay enough attention to Voyage of the Mimi, because I didn't listen to their fucking science sections at the end, like, that I would just, like, starve to death and die of dehydration or whatever because I didn't remember how to collect rain. So I've been sort of on hyper alert since I was 8 because I didn't pay attention to any of those lessons. I just thought about how dreamy Ben was. and I just thought about whales. And I just didn't care about any fucking science shit. It didn't appeal to me until, I guess, until really recently I started giving a shit about science. Once I realized science fiction is not that far off from science, I became a lot more interested in science. Once I realized that there were infinite possibilities in it, and that science makes room for science fiction, you know? I just have been, like, coming to terms, you know, with everything that's been going on, and I've been trying to stay away from people, and honestly, I've been doing an excellent job. I'm still in my bubble. My best friend Janae and my sister are the only two people who penetrate the bubble. I have seen my best friend Lydia, but we stood 6 feet away from each other, and we both wore masks when we saw each other the other day. So, I don't know. Social distancing is being practiced all the way across the board of my life. I have been saying that I was going to start, like, stretching and walking every day. I have not done that at all. Today, I went to the post office because I had orders. People are ordering Snarky cards. So, and Snarky calendars, which is funny because, like I was saying, time is, like, super meaningless right now. But, you know, I was happy to send them the calendar. It's funny because March, or April's, the picture for the month of April says, "Happy breakup, now you can go outside, go outside, go outside, go outside." And, like, we have a stay-at-home order. So, it's like, I feel like when I made that calendar, I bet on the future, and I just totally did not win. So, but I, you know, it's still fun. It's still funny. Like, there's still some good jokes in there. There's still some good art. I say some nice things. It's kind of, it's a reassuring calendar. I say some very, like, "you can do it" stuff on along the edges, you know? So, people have been ordering shit, and if you're interested in Snarky cards, if you think I'm funny, if you are intrigued and you want to, you know, the fuck you and your fucking feelings magnet, or if you want to read any of the happy abortion cards, or even the happy breakup or the happy Mother's Day. Oh my God. My favorite happy Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is coming up. My favorite happy Mother's Day card is, "It's your fault I'm gay. Happy Mother's Day." It is supreme. Definitely my bestseller. And the one that makes me feel like I'm doing, like, the best work ever. I like that those were, like, confrontational cards. All of my Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards are really angry, actually. So if you have a difficult relationship with your parents, I'm the gal to go to. Snarkycards.etsy.com. And, so I've, you know, today I went to the post office, but it's the first time I've been to the store in a couple of days. I have not been stretching. I have not been going to the park by myself and, like, just taking a walk and just, like, chilling. Nope. I said I would, and I just didn't. I haven't started that yet. I don't know if I will. But I did start becoming more active on Instagram and Facebook and posting all my shit. So, hopefully you'll see some more pictures of Snarky cards floating around, you know, into the world. And, I also bought ElisaStar.com because, some hackers got a hold of SuperElisa.com and now it's full of viruses. And, like, it's super gross at this time for my website to be super virusy. So, Elisa.com will have all my videos and, this podcast and, there's, yeah, like an essays that I write, and you know, the short story that I'm writing, feature porn, about next year. So, I went crazy today, and I got really into, I was looking at medicinal, seeds, medicine that grows in the Pacific Northwest, and I came across some crazy shit. Dude, there's like an herb that can help you lower your cholesterol. There is an herb that'll help you like slow your teeth from getting plaque. Like, there's an herb for like fucking everything. I don't understand why we need pharmaceuticals. I'm starting to think I can just grow all this shit. It's fucking crazy what all this shit does. I really am gonna like just create a little book for our garden so that we know, first of all, what we're growing, and second of all, how to take care of the herbs that we grow and harvest them, and then third of all, medicinally, what they do. Because I was thinking that we would grow some tobacco. I got some tobacco seeds, and you know, Lydia was like, well, if I want to protect my family, having tobacco is a really good idea, actually. And I was like, yeah, I mean, everybody fucking loves tobacco. Like, it's kind of a recession-proof deal. And I don't think either one of us feels like making alcohol, grain alcohol. Neither one of us really wants to make more of that in the world, I think. But tobacco is fine with both of us, actually. I mean, Lydia still smokes, and I wish I still smoked. You know, like, smoking was so much fun. It made me feel so cool. It was such an awesome part of my life. And I miss it a lot, but my lungs just said, you have to pick one. You can have marijuana or tobacco, but you cannot have both. And I chose marijuana. So, yeah, like, growing tobacco is intriguing to me. I want to see what grows. You know, I got a couple of different kinds of seeds, but there's one called the Indian seed, which is funny, not funny, which is weird because I'm growing it in my friend Keith's backyard, who is a native, and he would get really mad if he heard me calling anything Indian, actually. So that's annoying, but I will be trying to grow that in his backyard at some point, so maybe we'll just rename it. I mean, it's not like anyone else is really gonna know the names of the, but it's so much fun to learn the Latin names of the plants, you guys. I can't recite anything to you offhand, but I mean, it's not just like lemon balm and shit. There's some, you know, like foxglove that I ordered too, because I mean, in the apocalypse, I don't know, maybe we will need some heart medication, you know? It might be handy to know to have some, you know, just on hand, that maybe if people need it. I don't know what drugs are going to be in short supply and what drugs are not going to be in short supply. Nobody knows that. So, that's why I've been stocking up on all these herbs and shit. So I'm getting really excited about growing all these things and figuring out, like, I guess my new life with plants. I never thought of myself as a plant lady, actually. And I mean, nothing I've started has sprouted yet. Clonopin is, he just eats everything. It's crazy because, you know, you give a cat a name like Clonopin and he honestly is like a cuddle machine. Like, he comes in and checks on me and he'll like put his whole face in my hand and just like make me pet him, when he needs love, you know. He'll also like reach up and nuzzle my face, And it's just, he's just the sweetest cat in the world. And he is the happiest when we're snuggling. It actually, like, he gets cranky and mean and weird when we don't snuggle. And like, it's so sweet. And that's why I call him Clonopin, is because he's, like, my natural antidepressant. But also, he is one of the most neurotic fucking cats in the whole goddamn world. You know? Like, he super sketched out by everything all the time. Doesn't really settle that much. Always nervous, never wants to leave the house. And anorexic as fuck. Oh my god. Well, no, actually he's fucking bulimic, because he fucking anorexic. God, I'm sorry I got those confused, you guys. No, Clonopin, like vomits all the time. It's like living in a vomitorium, I swear to God. It turns out I finally figured out that if I just feed him almost like 95% people food, then he does not vomit all over the place. So, it's really fucking weird, but I have to share my food with him, or I have to clean up all of his vomit, and I have to live with it. And it's just gross. It's just like, there's only so much you can do, you know, before you start feeling like an insane cat person who just will never get laid again. And like, the apocalypse has already got me down about that, you guys. I mean, my sister said that we would probably, after everybody gets out of quarantine, there probably would be, like, this awesome singles orgy, but I don't know. I mean, first of all, group sex isn't my thing, and second of all, I don't know. Like, maybe we'll never have sex with each other again. Maybe we'll still, even after the quarantine's over, have sex, like, through screens. Maybe that, like, our whole lives are just through screens from now on. That's what I'm worried about. / hoping happens, because it does seem like maybe if I have a relationship through screens, it'll cut down on my commitment issues, you know? Like, I just feel like I'm always super scared to get too close to a guy, and if I never ever have to meet him or be in the same room with him, maybe that's the perfect relationship. Like, maybe that's the kind of relationship that could last years, you know what I mean? Like, go the distance. Yeah, that's the level of commitment phobia that I experience, my friends. That's my comfort level, is if a guy is married and if he lives in California, that's, like, totally my type, actually. I'm sorry, you guys. I know it's, like, a super dick thing to say, but that is, it's so perfect for me. That's so exactly what I'm looking for all the time. I want, like, 10% of your attention, you know? Like, that's about how much attention I want to give you. It's how much attention I want to get. I want your full attention for 10% of the time. And the rest of the time, I want you to be somewhere else, doing something else, having a life, not thinking about me, not obsessing. And ditto! So it's funny, too, because when I think about, like when I was younger, I just would long to spend all my time with my boyfriend when I was 14. And I don't think I felt that way ever since. And I don't know if it was just because Carlos Moreno was, like, the best boyfriend ever, or if it's just because back then I was needy as fuck, because I had all those abuse trauma issues that I hadn't resolved yet, because I was fucking 14 and shit was still actually, like, happening to me. So there's that. And, you know, like, all of that, like, informs the crotchety old spinster bitch that I am today, you know, probably. And, you know, I can't decide who is better, but I have been feeling smug about not being trapped in my apartment with a single other person. It is so nice. It is so nice, you guys, to just be by myself. To just, like, the only people I talk to are the cats. And they talk back, you know? Like, we're at that point where, because it's just, it's been all of us just trapped together for so long, we now have full conversations. They're not cats that usually talk, but they have started to, because I have been leaning more into our conversations. But honestly, it's pretty much just like me talking into the internet, me talking to you people, typing on my computer, and then I do like an hour on the phone. I check in with my best friend Lydia, I check in with Joy, my sister, and then I try to check in with one of the olds. Like, I've been trying to do that like a couple times a month. So like tomorrow I'm gonna call my Uncle Joel and my Aunt Linda, check in with those guys. I've also been like watching TV with people, like I told you before. Anyway, so it's weird, but I am getting used to a solitary life without contact with other people, and it being mostly screen time. And it's nice because I forgot, like, the last time I really had this much time to just be on the internet all the time and just obsess about my internet presence and try to beef that up was the first time I broke a leg. And I was really good at internet stuff back then. Internet was much younger, right? That was like 10 or 11 years ago. So, but a lot of card companies came to me after I started like beefing up my website and just like reaching out to other people online and, you know, partnering. And some people came to me and they were asking me to buy their business because they thought that I was huge. And I was still doing like handcrafted cards. Each card was hand painted, and then I would type it with my typewriter, and it like would take me like an hour to make everything, and they were like $2 each, and it was a stupid business model. But so I couldn't figure it out, and finally I ended up running into somebody, and she was like, oh my god, she's like, yeah, I remember trying to get in touch with you a couple years ago. I was like, yeah, what was that about? I'm so small, why were people doing that? And she's like, no, everywhere we looked we found you. You were everywhere. So, you know, this is a new world for me, the Kim Kardashian West of the now, and I'm gonna try and conquer all the TikTok-y stuff. And I have been increasing my Instagram followers, and I've just been obsessing about online stuff and trying to get all the snarky cards online. And I think it's going okay. I'm feeling supercharged, and like I said, people are ordering cards, which makes me feel good. You know, hopefully that my art is helping people in a time of crisis. I am nervous about the next 2 weeks, because I really think that that's going to be when we're going to see a huge rise in deaths. I think that it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be intense. And because we don't have any ventilators in the country, it just seems like some non-coronavirus related deaths, but corona related virus deaths are going to be because they couldn't get care, because our healthcare system's about to be really overwhelmed. But also because our government betrayed us. It's crazy, because I keep thinking about this meme that I saw that said, the government's betrayed you, the government's after you, you're worried about your job security, and you don't have any health care, and you don't have any kind of personal protection. Calm down. You've only been black for about a week now. You'll get used to it. And it's just been rattling around in my head that really is what's happening. I the black people of our country are like, yeah, of course the government's not going to help us. Of course the government's not going to. Of course we're going to have to figure this out. I mean, our community was always going to have to figure this out no matter what. But I know that a lot of white people, a lot of people who think of themselves as middle class are stunned by how bad our government is behaving right now. And my best friend Arlette texted me. We were just talking, just catching up on what we're doing during the pandemic. And she was like, it's just nice because it feels like the thin veneer of nice has been ripped off and everybody can see how shitty our government actually is. And it's not just me. It's not just me trying to tell a crazy story and be a crazy liberal. And she's like, there's some relief in that. Like, I'm not being gaslit anymore by my neighbors. People just get how shitty the government is, you know? And I think the government was always this shitty to black people, to people of color who are not black, to to Muslims, to undocumented workers. Like, they were like test cases for how it can just treat its working poor, and then the working poor were test cases for how they could treat the middle class when they threaten the middle class with becoming the working poor. And it's just like, seems like because we didn't take care of the people who had the least in our society, we all became them a little bit. But also, it's really trippy for me because I still feel a lot like us and Russia have switched places. You know, Russia takes care of all its citizens, and no matter what, you know. It is totalitarian over there, and you can't fuck with Putin or else you get dead. But on the other hand, they take care of all the people. Everybody gets to go to the hospital, you know, and that way they're a first world country and we're a third world country, you know, like it's fucking trippy to just feel like we traded places is what I feel like. So it's funny because I've been pointing out a lot of the Biden gaffes on my Facebook, and I've got a couple friends who are big fans of Biden, I guess, and they're like, Russia thanks you for your service. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't think Russia cares. You know, like, I'm sure Russia's figured out how to get in on Biden and Trump. And like they can, you know, Putin's smart enough to figure out how to bribe both parties. It's not that hard either. They don't make it hard. So yeah, I don't think Russia actually cares who wins. So long as Bernie Sanders isn't in the fight, you know, he's the only one who pledged not to take any money from any suspicious PACs, from any big PACs, you know, and that seems like it puts Putin and Bernie kind of like far away as far as influence goes. I do think that if Bernie and Biden ran together, it would be the best for the party, for everybody. Like, I would vote for that, right? I don't want to vote for Biden, you know, now that it sounds like he's a rapist in addition to just being, you know, like a dementia patient. He sundowns, you know, like, I can't understand half the shit he says because it's old man gibberish. You know, and for some reason nobody wants to talk about it right now. They're like talking like he's a president, but he's not a fucking president. He's like, him and Donald Trump both, like, Donald Trump knows what he's talking about, it seems to me, like, more than Biden, But the two of them are both, like, really mushy-brained, I feel like, right now. So, those debates are just going to be terrifying to me. It's just going to be, like, a horrible future. I'll vote for anybody but Donald Trump, right? Because at least Biden would have used he would have used some of the national apparatus for war to get people care and to get people help and to figure out how to make sure that all of our hospital workers don't die. I think he would have done that. And if he didn't do it, I think that he would have hired people who did that. I think that that's a huge difference between him and Donald Trump. And it's worth voting for him because I think that his party will let less people die. But it's also clear that even in the Democratic Party, they're super okay with just having frontline deaths and just letting people die from the way that they haven't made any of the kinds of legislation moves that they need to in order to protect citizens across the country. Jay Inslee has protected us a lot. I think that we need a rent freeze for the whole country too for the next 2 or 3 months until we can work again. I mean, nobody can work right now. So, like, how the fuck are we going to pay rent? One $1,200 payment's not going to solve that, you know? And if that goes straight to your landlord, then what the fuck are you going to eat with? Like, you can't tell us to stay home and then tell us to pay all of our bills. Like, that's not realistic. So rent freeze is the only thing that makes sense. And just rent forgiveness. And just let everybody live for free for the next couple of months. It's possible. We could do that as a country. We have the money if we want to spend it that way, just taking care of ourselves. We could do that. So those are my ideas about what we should do next. I know we got a little bit political today. I guess those are my thoughts of the day. I bought buckwheat. It feels like gravel. It doesn't feel like a real thing. And I'm going to plant it because it's supposed to be good for soil. It's supposed to help you, like it grows fast. And then basically if you pull the plants out, they make really good mulch. And the fact that it's grown in the soil, gets the soil all fluffed up and better and in good shape for you to plant other shit in it, and and the plant matter itself makes really great mulch, like, which is something that you can just, like, let it rot on the soil and it's good. It's like the rotting buckwheat is good for the soil as well. It also makes it, like, extra nutritious and yummy for planting. So I'm gonna try that on some spots in my sister's garden is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to her house, I'm gonna cover my face, stand 6 feet away from her, and we're gonna, like, do gardening stuff together without, like, having to interact too much. But, you know, I've got all this shit to plant and I really want to try planting it in her yard. So that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna, like, block off parts of her yard and plant all my shit and put, like, little signs and tell her how often to, like, water. But if she doesn't water it every day, I don't think she's gonna water it every day. I think I'm gonna have to go over there. But that's good because that means it'll get exercise every day. Like, making the garden over at her house means that it's perfect, I think. So, okay. I hope you guys are doing really well. I don't know how long this will last, but like I said, I keep getting a whole bunch of tools for hunkering down for a long-term apocalypse just in case. So I hope you guys are thinking about what you can collect or grow in your world so that the coming apocalypse, you'll have something to trade. friends. we have all these TV shows that we can use to think about them. J.J. Abrams made this really good one that nobody watched but me. What was it called? I want to say Lost, but it wasn't Lost. It was After Lost. Oh, my God. And it was, like, all the signals, all the electronic stuff just stopped one day. And then 20 years later, all the electronic stuff still was off. So, it only got 2 seasons, but, it was a really, I really enjoyed it, actually. And I thought that it was a really good, like, they would talk about all the differences, and one of the things that they were obsessed with on that show was toilet paper. So, I was actually kind of, prepared for the toilet paper, like, shortage and obsession, because, it was called Revolution, and, yeah, it was 2013 to 2014, yeah, 12 to 14, yeah, it was, like, 2 seasons, it's called Revolution, and, honestly, they were so obsessed with toilet paper on that show, people were so astounded by how fast it ran out here, but I wasn't. I don't go through that much. So, like, I have 18 rolls, and I think it's gonna last me for, like, a year or something. You know? Like, I live by myself, and, I guess I don't pee that much? I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but it, that kind of thing, really, literally, like, it's like once a year I have to buy one of those and I'm good. So I'm fine, but, it's just trippy to watch people like freak out about toilet paper. And then it seems like society at large seems confused that people would be freaking out about toilet paper when it is obviously one of the greatest inventions of mankind. I mean, sort of. Like, it doesn't actually work for your shits. Like, I started doing, like, sort of my own, like, handmade, like, poor man's bidet thing with my pooper, because, honestly, it's just more efficient, more effective. So, toilet paper doesn't work for everything, but it's good for peeing, you know? It helps with, like, period stuff, you know? Like, those two things. So, anyway, Revolution is a great show. You can, if you want to check that out, that would, might give you some good tips for living in this future apocalypse. I think we'll still have technology, but I think it'll be expensive after initially being cheap. I think that, the poors won't be able to afford the internet anymore. I think that we're going to discover it's a public utility that we all need in this crisis. And then I think that a bunch of companies are going to come around and bribe our political leaders to privatize it and to ensure that it's always privatized. And it'll just be one more thing, like Medicare for All, that is just a pipe dream for us. And since school will keep being online, poor kids won't be able to afford school, which is fine because they have to work anyway, even though it's bad for their health. That is the future that I keep seeing, you guys. So, sorry. I know that it was a total bum out. So I was going to tell you some other stuff, right? Okay, so I cannot stop watching Graham Norton. It's like, I'll listen to a bunch of apocalypse news, and then it's just Graham Norton, Graham Norton, Graham Norton, Graham Norton. There's something about his talk show that just reassures the fuck out of me. It's not as obnoxious as The View or The Talk. It's so funny, and he catches people so much off guard, and he just creates this, like, adorable, like, this is like, the kind of dinner party that I always pictured myself going to. I mean, I do picture myself going to dinner parties with Pink and stuff. Like I always assumed that I would write a book and then be famous, and I wrote a book and I'm not famous, so, so that's that. But, I mean, the Graham Norton show, I really do feel even just had five interesting people who were not famous in a room, like, those are the kinds of dinner parties that I like to be at, and I've been at, and I enjoy. I don't know, we used to have, like, nights like that at we did Kegsgiving for a while, a friend of mine did, in Portland. You know, it's such a beer town, so, yeah, oh my god, Kegsgiving was so much fun, so many people came. We got super dressed up and drunk and happy, and there was singing and games, and it was so crazy fun. Anyway, okay, what was I talking about? Jesus Christ. Graham Norton, if you look him up on YouTube, you can totally watch clips of his show, but he is an English guy with a chat show, and he's been doing it for like 30 or 40 years, so he gets like Madonna and big, you know, like people like that, and hot men, and he's super gay and he flirts with them, and he also does really kind of adorable funny bits. I mean, he's kind of like there, like, I don't know, like Jimmy Kimmel, like, or, but like older, right? Like, he's been doing it for 30 years. Like, the shows, you can go back, you can go really, really far back. And he's always been a fun guy, so he always has these really fun interviews with these amazing celebrities. And celebrities from all over the world, too, that he's been friends with for years, or he's just meeting, but he always digs up things about them, and sort of tries to embarrass them and get them to talk about things that they do or don't remember about their past, and it's funny and sweet, and so Graham Norton will definitely, it just makes me feel like normal to just like watch like Pink and like Stephen Fry sit on a couch together and sort of flirt with each other and laugh at each other's jokes, and you know, and Jamie Oliver try to prove that he's sexy, and it's just, I don't know, it's like it's there's something really reassuring about Graham Norton and about the way he just leads people through these sort of what could be like really awkward encounters that just become really silly, fun, funny moments. So, okay, that's my big tip. It's not all doom and gloom. We still have Graham. He hasn't died yet. And if he did, I'm sure he's already got something pre-taped, pre-planned, something fabulous for his funeral. So we'll still get to enjoy him at least one last time, but in the meantime, there's so much of him, there's so many episodes, he's been on for years and years and years and years and years, and it will just crack you the fuck up. So I bid you adieu. I hope that you guys are all doing great. I love you. I appreciate you. If you like me, if you think I'm funny, if you want to look at my shit, like I said, snarkycards.etsy.com. Happy vagina, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.